This is Your State. The Junior League of Charleston and Station WCHS, in cooperation with the Kanawha County Board of Education, presents Stories of Famous West Virginians, Thursdays at 9:15 a.m. and Saturdays at 10:45 a.m. Today's program is about a courageous lady, Betty Zane, on This is Your State.
Betty Zane is well known to boys and girls all over the United States, not just in our own state of West Virginia. The reason is that she was a brave girl. So brave, in fact, that she was responsible for saving Fort Henry near the present city of Wheeling. It was during the Revolutionary War in 1777, a time when settlers had to be constantly on the watch for Indian attacks and raids. One of the most prominent families living at Fort Henry was the Zanes. Betty Zane, a real heroine, can tell you much better than I exactly what happened and what part she played in defending her family and friends.
I had just returned from the city of Philadelphia, where I had spent several years with my aunt while attending school. Fort Henry was a frontier settlement made up of log houses, all placed within a safe distance of the actual fort in case we had to hurry there in time of alarm. Each home had its own yard and garden, usually fenced in to keep out wild animals. But the only really tall, strong walls were those around the fort, or the garrison as it was sometimes called. These walls were known as the stockade or palisade. Fort Henry had no streets or big buildings, and I found living here entirely different from the easy ways of the city and the comforts of my aunt's house. Both of my parents were dead, so I lived with my brothers. Jonathan, one of the best hunters and Indian fighters of that day, and Isaac, well, I lived with him when he wasn't being held captive by the Indians, which was about half the time, and Zeb, the leader of the fort, and the only one who was married. Since there were no schools, I spent part of each weekday teaching the children of my brother Zeb, and sometimes the neighbor's children, too. In our log houses, the main room was the kitchen. So, in cold weather, we had our school in there, in front of the big open fireplace. But in the spring, the children wanted to have the classes outdoors, usually under a big tree in the yard. Whenever there was time for my work, one of my pastimes was reading over and over again the few books that I'd brought back from Philadelphia. I always helped my sister-in-law, Bessie, in weaving cloth for our clothing, and in sewing and mending clothes for the whole Zane family. In the fall, we made our own candles and soap. We made them from grease and fat that we'd saved. We had to plan so that there'd be enough to last through the long winter. In summer, we raised a garden, and then we canned the fruit and the vegetables. Another necessary bit of work for me was making bullets. I melted down chunks and bits of lead and poured it into molds. And then I packed in the gunpowder, which was usually stored in kegs. And every day, I had to tend to my pets, too. I had chickens and ducks and dogs and a squirrel, and my favorite was a pony, which I rode through the settlement. I wasn't allowed to go beyond certain boundaries, however, because the Indians might be camping nearby to spy on the fort. On Sundays, I sang in the church choir and taught a Sunday school class. Being the only girl in the family, I was sort of a tomboy. My brothers taught me to hunt and fish and swim and paddle a canoe and to run in the swift, silent fashion used by the woodsmen and the scouts and the Indians. All of these were fun for me, but they were part of my education, too. Zeb used to brag about me to his friends when he didn't know I was listening. All my brothers loved me and spoiled me, I guess. So I was very happy. Yes, I was happy to have an opportunity to do something for them to prove how grateful I really was. And one day, I had my chance. It all happened this way.
Mm-hmm.
was a colonel, the head of the fort and the surrounding settlement. His house was located about 100 yards from the fort, but everyone turned to him for orders when danger came, as it often did in those days. One morning, I heard a loud knock on our front door, and when I opened the door, I saw our best and keenest scout, Lew Wetzel, tell Jeb that this is a warning. The Indians and several hundred British soldiers are on their way to take the fort for an all-out attack. And with that, he rushed on to warn the other neighbors. Immediately, Zeb gave order for all of us to go into the fort, the men, women, and children, and to bring some of the animals. We were to make preparations for what was to come. Although we would be hopelessly outnumbered, we all settled down to our duties. Each man knew his post, and each woman and child had a special job, such as making bullets or reloading the men's rifles. We were excited, of course, but we wasted no time, I can assure you. My brother Jonathan and several other men remained outside the fort at Zeb's house. They used it as an outpost to keep the fort itself from being set fire to by the Indians. Before the battle really started, our leaders were called out by a group of the Indians and the Redcoats and were given a chance to surrender. They refused, even though we were outnumbered at least 10-1. The enemy didn't count on the bravery and determination of settlers who loved their homes and would fight to the last to protect them. Once the fighting actually began, we were surrounded by the noise and smoke of gunfire. Our one small cannon kept pounding away, boom, 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 knocking down our enemies like so many toy soldiers. Bang, sounded the rifle shot, and occasionally, ping, from an Indian arrow. Fortunately, all our men were expert shots, and they were wise enough never to waste a single bullet. Each man peered through the opening where he was stationed, took careful aim at one of the enemy, and then fired. Of course, some of the men inside the fort were the victims of the enemy bullets and arrows. So we women became busier and busier, both tending to the wounded and helping the brave defenders. After the fighting had gone on all day, and night was coming on, the enemies tried a new plan. A group of Indians ran forward carrying a huge log with which they pounded on the fort gate, hoping to break it down. This meant that our men had to concentrate their firing even more so that the fort would not fall into the hands of our enemies. No one dared think of what would happen to us if the Indians ever did get inside the fort. Just then, when things were already tense, one settler reported he was almost out of gunpowder. When Zeb checked our supply, he found it to be very low indeed. There was no more powder in the fort. All of us began to wonder how long we could hold out. In an hour or two, maybe even sooner, we would have to give up unless we could get more powder. Then suddenly Zeb remembered he had a keg of powder in his house outside the stockade where my brother Jonathan was stationed. Oh, but what good would that do us? The Indians and the British would kill any man who tried to leave the fort. So naturally, Zeb couldn't order any of the men to go into such danger. Every man was needed right here, and needed badly, too. We couldn't afford to take a chance. Nevertheless, several brave young men volunteered to go. They insisted. They insisted so much that all Zeb could do was to tell them, "Well, you can go, but you must decide yourself which one will go." And while they were talking it over, an idea came to me. Why shouldn't I go to Zeb's house for the powder, thus leaving all the men to watch their posts? He was very pleased and surprised, but he replied kindly that this was no task for a girl. I might be killed. I knew that, but somehow I wasn't afraid, and I knew that no man could be spared. Oh, please, Zeb, let me go. Please, I know I can do it. Oh, please, Zeb. Finally, realizing how critical the situation was and that every minute counted, Zeb agreed to let me try. In fact, it was he who opened the gate for me and kissed me and wished me luck. I started out slowly. acting as if nothing were wrong, so the Indians wouldn't guess what I was doing. All the way, I could feel the eyes centered on me. Those of the men in the fort, waiting in suspense, and those of the Indians, who probably wondered why I was on my way to Zeb's house at that time of the night. 100 yards isn't very far, but my heart was pounding and thumping hard as I walked along. It seemed forever. But finally I reached the door. Imagine the surprise of Jonathan and the other men when I explained why I had come. Jonathan had a clever idea. He helped me dump the gunpowder into a tablecloth. And that would be easy to carry over my shoulder like a knapsack. He wanted to make the trip back for me, but I soon convinced him that wasn't wise. Oh, no, Jonathan. The Indians would kill you. They won't even pay any attention to me, a girl. I tried to feel and act calm as I started back. But this time I didn't dare walk slowly. Instead, I began to run as fast as I could, just as I had done in relay races with my friends. It's just a race, I kept saying to myself. It's just a race. Run faster, Betty. Run faster, faster. The Indians must have suspected I was trying to trick them, because they began to fire on me. Bullets were whizzing around me as I raced for the gate. Oh, the gate. It's so close, if I can just hold out. I must get there faster, faster. Oh, I made it. The gate was my goal, and just as I ran into the fort, the door slammed shut, and bang, a bullet lodged itself into the log. Just 5 seconds too late. Everyone crowded around me, hugging and kissing me and praising me for my courage and saying over and over again, "You've saved the fort, Betty. You've saved the fort. You've saved us all." As soon as I could get my breath, I knew now that the fort could hold out. I had repaid my brother's confidence in me. The next day, the Indians drifted away. We rejoiced. Their attack had failed. We had won. We could stay on at Fort Henry. We loved our home on the Ohio River, and now we had made this part of the country safe, not only for ourselves, but for other settlers who would come to join us. All of us could live in peace and safety, in happiness, free Americans.
This has been This Is Your State, today's episode about a famous West Virginian, Betty Zane. Know Your State is a public service presentation of the Junior League of Charleston, West Virginia, the Kanawha County Board of Education, and WCHS Radio. Today's episode will be repeated Saturday at 10:45 a.m. over WCHS Radio 580 on your dial.